Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Breakthrough Directions. Each week, Breakthrough Directions explores the two faces of your business, outward through marketing and client delivery, and inward, your vision, profit model, systems, team, and you, so you can grow a business you love and live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com, calling to you live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, as we do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. We have got a great show lined up for you guys. It's one that Linda and I have been looking forward to for quite some time. We have my co-host, Linda Feinholz, the founder of the Breakthrough Academy at breakthroughbydesign.com. Linda's calling in live from Los Angeles, California. Hello, Linda. See if I can get you guys unmuted. Are you there, Linda?
Can you hear me now?
I can.
Hello, good morning. The joys of technology. I had a computer that went kablooey at 5 minutes to the hour and had to reboot everything. So hello from Los Angeles. Oh, I have so been looking forward to today's show. You know, as so many of our listeners know, you and I spend a tremendous amount of time with this concept that we refer to as leverage, how to get a greater result from an optimized effort, a lesser effort over time. And our guest today is a master of doing that in business. Scott Manning, for many, many years now, has been showing people who very often are service professionals where they're very used to a model of selling their time in order to make their revenue, really how to optimize that and literally create a business with explosive revenue growth and so on. And I'm so delighted to have him with us today. We're going to be diving deep into all this. And Scott, welcome aboard.
Well, thank you both, Gina and Linda. It really is an honor to be on the phone with you. I appreciate all your excitement. I can tell you that I've been super excited also. And this is, you know, I have my own wedding coming up on Sunday, so I'm excited for that. But this call, this takes the cake. So I'm, I got to tell you, I really admire both of you for the work you're doing, and just to be here, all three of us together, is, you know, a real pleasure.
Well, what fun to be with you on the run up to your wedding. Where are you getting married?
It's in Watersound, Florida. They say these are some of those beautiful beaches on Earth. So it's in between Destin and Panama City, and kind of a untouched little more nature reserve where there's still big giant white sand dunes and you know, all kinds of wildlife. So it's pretty interesting.
Beautiful. So
and just to give you an example, Linda, of how much Scott really does leverage everything he does. Scott, since you're going to be in the beautiful area of Florida, you doing anything for the business while you're out there getting married?
Well, we have all kinds of things going on. You know, I build up whenever I'm going to go somewhere. You know, I'm fortunate, as I know the you especially, but I know you all like to travel, and so when I ever travel to any city, I always think about, you know, how can I leverage this? How can I put a bunch of things around it? So not only do I have some of my top premium international clients coming to the wedding, we have a little mastermind event happening before that. I've leveraged into a few different client events, and then we're hosting our own little $1 million methods big money breakthrough workshop on Thursday. So, yeah, you know, I feel that you do have to maximize. I mean, in life we're only given one, so you might as well make the most of it.
I love it. Gina, you and Scott have known each other for quite a while. I would love for our listeners to know how the two of you have come to know each other.
Oh, a whopping 3 months, I think it's been, Linda.
Sometimes it feels like a lifetime, though, doesn't it?
It really does. But, you know, it's kind of interesting because Scott and I met in the most unusual of circumstances. Wouldn't you agree, Scott?
Oh, for sure.
So back in March, Linda, you might remember that we had been talking a lot about the Joint Venture Summit hosted by Mark Harris in Atlanta, Georgia.
Indeed.
And Scott heard about it fairly late, a couple days before the event. So Scott, not wanting to miss a giant opportunity, sent one of his associates, Dino Klein, to the event. And Dino wasn't quite sure which ticket level should he be at and what should he be doing. So Dino got in after having a major hassle getting to Atlanta, got in very late the night before the event. And he and I had been communicating via text for several hours at that point. So about 12:30, quarter to one that night, he came up to my room to get his ticket all ironed out. And Dino and I ended up becoming very quickly friends and hanging out the entire event. Within a week or so, Dino then got me on the phone and introduced me to Scott.
I love it.
Well, yeah, and I would just say the whole it feels like a lifetime. You know, I believe, and I know this is what brought the two of you together, you when you're connected with someone, you really are. I mean, your spirit kind of aligns. And there's so many people in the world that you can do things with. And as I know we're going to get into, making money is not difficult. I mean, really, opportunities are everywhere. It's people's lack of focused direction that gets them results. And I think that when you see someone who aligns with your same principles, it's just a great match. And those are the kind of relationships you look for. So I would say that 3 months, 3 years, 30 years, it feels like, Gina and I certainly are on the same page with so many things in life, and I know that we certainly like to help each other and help other people along the way.
Yeah, I think that's the power
Absolutely.
Of this show, is bringing together people that really share this common vision about how can we take, in a sense, our soul's work in this lifetime to make a difference in the lives of others. And the reality is, for most of us on a weekly basis, that means what is it we're doing to make a difference in the world, make revenue come in for ourselves so that we can make that bigger difference in the world, and just creating that multiplier effect, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So how did you come to be doing the work that you're doing nowadays?
I appreciate the question. You know, this, we only have an hour, right? So
exactly.
I'll give you the short story. So I feel that through some various circumstances in my life, I became somewhat independent and fairly mature at an early age. Actually, my mom divorced when I was 3 years old. And, of course, it was the right thing for her, unfortunately. She always saw the best in everybody. We all know how that goes. And so at that age, I started martial arts at 5.5 years old. Mm. And I kept doing that for I suppose, 28-some years. And through the martial arts, I developed a desire for entrepreneurship. And I had a lot of leadership skills. And so I started running my martial arts schools. Actually, believe it or not, when I was in the seventh grade, I taught every class, collected every check, and sold every lesson for the martial arts school in this really small rural town in Indiana.
Wow.
And by my freshman year in high school, I decided to, that I needed to do something with my life, and I bought the business for $3,000 and all the equipment, and I started my own school. 10 years later, fast forward, I had a mini little empire, and I had learned through coaches and consultants within the industry, and I was everything from an information junkie to an obsessed implementer. And all of that led me, as I was going through graduate school to finish my MBA, into a real desire to do something bigger and greater. And while taking care of kids and families was certainly significant work, I wanted to do it beyond the local area. And so I turned to how could I apply my martial arts leadership skills to the world of business, and I went in to develop a coaching consulting company where I basically treated people like they were my martial arts students. Instead of teaching them moves, I was teaching them how to make money, and I developed the largest coaching program in the country in Indianapolis, Indiana, And from there, you know, it kind of took on a life of its own. I was involved with an organization by one of my friends and mentors named Dan Kennedy, and he had a business partner, Bill Glazer. I ended up becoming partners with them in their business advisor program, training all their 108 advisors around the nation. And that led me into, international consulting and really a specialty, I suppose, in helping people create leverage through information-based businesses. And not just e-books and video courses, which are, of course, very valuable, but also through replicating themselves, such as licensing programs or franchise concepts. I applied the real-world, business, corporate America strategies down to the grassroots entrepreneurship and even info marketing. So I hope that it's kind of a fast-forward version of a jumbled mess, but it's been great for me, and I've always looked at trading up opportunities and trying to continue to evolve myself. And in doing so, helping other people to find their kind of truer passions. And I will say, Gina and Lindsay, both of you, like you are the epitome of this comment, and people have to enjoy what they do. And just the sheer nature of the radio show, you can tell both of you enjoy what you do. So many people are trapped in a business that they don't enjoy, and I learned so early on that you'll never be successful. You can make a little money, but you'll never be truly happy and successful unless you really thoroughly enjoy the business that you've created. And so that's why everything I do now is really based around creating a lifestyle-based enterprise.
You know, Scott, you shared something really important in that story, and you called it a mess. But the irony is, don't you find that for yourself as well as the people you work for, if you don't go have a good mess, then you don't see what all the options and variety are that you could actually learn and use?
Yeah. Oh, it's so true. I mean, I love that you said that. You know, the saying is success is made in a messy kitchen, and I think just to carry that analogy, the best recipes come out of chefs being creative and not really having a clue what's going on. So, I think you do have to have that, and you have to be willing to get dirty, to take detours, and to as I like to say, jump off the cliff or push things off the cliff, and just not have any fear or risk is the reward in life. It really, really is.
So nowadays, you've got programs that I don't want to say target per se, but serve different groups of professionals. So, for instance, you have work that you do with service professionals who are in the middle of selling their time, selling their hours, who look up and say, "There's got to be an easier way to do this." What's that? What is that shift both in mindset for them as well as understanding what can be different in business?
Yeah. Well, Thanks for asking. And, I teach, or really my, I suppose, model revolves around eight what I call big money breakthroughs. And only one of them, coincidentally, is information. Now, it can be the biggest kind of overhaul to a person's life, but it's only one of the eight. And probably the first big shift comes from knowing that not all customers are created equal. And when you look at a business, and you're right, I do deal a lot with professional practices. There's a few reasons. One, I think that I can match up to them on an education level, which believe it or not is somewhat important. A lot of doctors, dare I say this on a live recording, but they do come with what we call an educational ego, and they don't have any necessarily business skill or mindset, and so they need a lot of times to see somebody eye to eye who has something equal to that. So the other reason I deal a lot with doctors is because they're used to dealing with high income, and for the types of the lifestyle I have, the dollars per hour that I want my income to break out to, it requires somebody to be a highly paid professional. And this is case in point, I practice what I preach. And not all customers are created equal, meaning that different people have different abilities to pay and perceptions of value. And the way to leverage your time, the very first place to start is by your price point and the amount of hours necessary to achieve your desired income objective. It all comes down to the price. So customer and price are tied to each other like a marriage. And these two things cannot be changed. So if you want to increase the price, you got to oftentimes find a different customer. If you're not having success with a certain customer, you have to go find who is a better fit for you. And a lot of people like to start with, oh, who's my target market or ideal prospect, all these things. And all that's good, but that's also, you have to be realistic about it at the same time. And just because you like dealing with certain people, it doesn't mean that they're going to afford you the type of business you want to have. And I think this is a really important truth that a lot of people neglect and they don't pay attention to. And, where you invest your time in getting customers is the first most important thing of the business. So I think that's the first leverage point of time, is making sure that you're maximized both your price and the type of customer you're dealing with.
And how do you suggest that people figure out who their ideal customer is?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. And I suppose it has to be done very, personally, because, and I know, Gina, you actually have one of the best models that I've ever seen of walking people through creating a vision in advance of the business. So many people just open their doors, they go into business, they start doing something, asking some random arbitrary price from anybody that will pay it for the service they provide, and they very quickly pin themselves into a job, not into a business. And finding the customer, the first question that's most important to anyone is, what do you want your life to look like? I did not say, how much money do you want to make? What kind of business do you want to have? Who do you want to spend time with every day? Nope. I said, what do you want your life to look like? Because different customers require different amounts of maintenance. And so, for example, I work a lot with professional practices. Guess what? They're really busy. They're low maintenance. They don't want to waste any time, and they value time the same way I do. So that's one of my first considerations. So to find an ideal prospect, I think number one is, you have to decide the type of people that you want to interact with. Again, people who are principle centered around what you're dealing with. So, for example, if you have people that are driving a car just to drive around and just take people places, or you have somebody who's into a status symbol, or if you have somebody who's a collector, or if you have somebody who's a race car driver. All four of those people all drive cars, but they all value the vehicle differently. And all of those things directly relate to the price point that a person would charge. So I think the first consideration is, how do you want your life to be structured? And then we have to work backwards from there. And then we have to move into my favorite part of the business, which is what I call a math problem. Now we have to determine, how many people do you need in your life to pay a certain amount of money to equal the income you want? Again, most people go from the bottom up. They just get as many customers as possible and see how much money is left at the end of the day. And I believe in really reverse engineering the business. Let's say we want to make $1 million this year. Well, if you can have 10 customers pay you $100,000, you're going to have a pretty simple life. If you can get 1,000 people to pay $1,000, then, it's a different model. And so I think you have to really apply first to your lifestyle and then next to this what I call the math problem of income, and then make a determination on the types of customers and make a list of those people who are the best qualified person for you. It all comes down to the value perception of the client. And will they value what you're selling the way that you do? And in every market, there's a sweet spot of just the right person for just the right way that you want to do business.
Totally true. Totally true. And something that is so often overlooked by the people that I know you and I both work with, it's very rare for me to find someone that intuitively knew to do that right from the start. Same is true for you, right?
Of course, yeah, of course, you're right. Of course, nobody, and heavens, I can't say I knew either right away, you know. I mean, I used to always take the volume approach, too, you know. When it was in the martial arts business, it was all about how many new people we could get per month, not how much was each new person worth. And, yeah, it's so important. It's so important. I think about, I work with a lot of dentists, and let's say they can come in, and this, I was just in Houston with one of my clients, and, you know, they have a customer that maybe they have a quick turnaround case. They walk in and they pay $6,000 or $7,000, $10,000. They do a procedure, but the follow-up visits are, you know, they got to come in a dozen more times. Versus you have a high-paid professional like myself. I fly to Houston, get my dental work done. I'm in and out in a day, and, you know, there's no baggage. And so it's worth it's so much more valuable me as a client versus someone else. And it's not just about the money that somebody gets for the service, but it's how much extra time comes along with that relationship.
Scott, don't you find it so critical that people understand the identity they themselves want to have? Some people want high engagement, high involvement with the people that they're serving. They want those repeat visits, and other people want to be a laser-focused expert. And so part of this is not only understanding our gifts, but also figuring out who we want to be day in and day out. It comes back to what you posed as step number one, which is really being able
right.
to what's the life you want to live. And it doesn't mean that any version is wrong, but it's being able to describe it so that you can then put all the puzzle pieces in place to actually live that.
Wow, yeah, you said it so eloquently. You know, you remind me of my favorite analogy, which is entrepreneur as artist.
Mm.
And if you go to a museum, you see so many different types of art. Each person who designed that art, they think that's what art is. And then they all have a certain followers, just like music. Certain people like certain types of music. There is a type of business for everybody, and you can get customers for any kind of setup. And that's why it comes back to you, because you're right. You might as well have what is good for you, because it's, like I said at the beginning, it's not difficult to make money. Might as well do it in a way that you enjoy. And you're so right on about there is no wrong way. No, the problem that people have, and I know for the three of us in helping be guides and consultants and coaches to others, is that they're too far out there constantly shopping for all these different methods of doing business. I always say, now I know I shouldn't be saying this on this call because we obviously want people reading our emails, but this is very important. I mean, people respect me because I tell them just straight up, this is the truth, whether it takes money out of my pocket or not. The people sending the emails to our email boxes, those are the people making the money, not the person sitting on their computer scrolling through their email all day long, opening emails and reading them and going and watching everybody's sales pitches. Those guys, not making any money. And so I always say you've got to be an email sender. And so when you stop shopping around for a dozen different pairs of shoes and you just put one on and go run with it, you want to find the one that fits best for you and you want to take off. And I think that's what business is all about.
Yeah, beautifully put. So you mentioned that there's eight different elements, and it starts
sure.
with first knowing what the life is that you want to live. I'd love it if you would share some more of them.
Sure. Well, thanks for asking. I mean, I think a couple big ones, and I'll just kind of lump some together for the sake of time. One of the big ones is what I call the art of acceleration, and I'll tie that in with selling one to many. Okay, so one of the big strategies, and you two are, I mean, brilliant experts at it, and I think Gina probably does some of the highest level work I've seen on this idea. Selling one to many is a giant breakthrough. Now, selling one to many can be several different ways. So, for example, let's go back to doctors, just because most people, they see a doctor as just completely stuck in their way kind of a setup. So right now a doctor sees a patient one at a time, and they sell some high case procedure. Well, when a patient comes in, they don't yet know whether that person is going to be qualified. So what I say we do is I say we put together a monthly workshop where we fill all the patient prospects into this one workshop. We do the presentation in advance, and then we charge them a little ticket to go to the next step. And now if they pay a fee and they jump into an appointment slot, they're already pre-committed. And so now you just sold one too many to flush out your schedule, so the premium prospects are lined up. So I have this one of the top plastic surgeons in the world in Nashville, Tennessee, where I live most of the time. And we did a very simple concept to his practice last year. We inserted the $100 appointment fee. Now, that's pathetically simple. However, what it does is it gives people several things. Number one, emotional buy-in. Number two, $100 burning a hole in their pocket that they've already spent on the appointment. So now when they come in the door and they say yes to an $8,000 procedure, they're actually saying yes to a $7,900 procedure because they already paid $100. And so this changes the whole dynamic of the practice, because now if it took you eight people to get four yeses, now it might take you four people, five people, six people. You can dramatically change the amount of money you can generate in a short period of time. Obviously, we all think of selling one to many as selling from the stage at a conference or selling with a webinar or teleseminar. We think of the info marketing concepts, which are great, but it can be driven down to a brick-and-mortar business where you find a way to leverage yourself and sell people in as a group. I mentioned the art of acceleration, which is, it's probably a passion of mine. I have this little philosophy I live with myself, which is to plan out a year in advance and then to do the year in 12 weeks. So basically just make a month a week. And it's, anyone can do it. It's not difficult. Most people only work a small fraction of their week anyway. And so if you just learn to maximize and leverage all of your assets, including team and technology and just income in general, you can accelerate your life experiences and your income creation in a very short period of time. And so acceleration can be done such as, even I mentioned, a $100 appointment fee accelerates the yes you get out of a sale. Acceleration can mean that if you have 10 projects that are going on and you're doing one at a time, you just do all 10 at once. A art of acceleration could mean that you look at your schedule for next month and you cut out everything that doesn't hit a certain pinnacle of income and you focus only on the top portions of it. So it's not always about adding stuff to you. A lot of times it's about shedding baggage or eliminating distractions, and that helps you to move faster. So those are a few others of the ideas of creating leverage. Obviously, I know we're all big time maximizers. I think that it's, you have to be ruthless with your time, no question about it.
I love the variety that you just shared, because it really speaks to the fact that there's many possible tools, techniques, approaches to use. Different people are ready at different times to try on different techniques, and they're all rooted in what I like to call being business-minded. So many people in business are doing something that they created that business because they followed a passion, and then they forget that they've created a business, and the business actually needs business-mindedness in
right.
order, as you said, to trim out the fat, the wastage, and so on.
Yeah, well, you're so right, and I think that is, it is something that has to have constant refinement. At the same time, Linda, you mentioned that people get into business and then they have to, they end up with something they're really not sure how to handle. The other thing is, a lot of people make the idea of money and of growth slow and gradual. I always say when I'm speaking, and a lot of times to close the deal, I always say, really, who wants to get rich slow? I mean, come on, you know, like what a dumb idea. And I even say this to financial planners. In America, you save your way poor. That is the way life is. You do not save your way rich. It's impossible to out-earn all of the problems that life will throw at you. And therefore, you have to speed up your income. And so, you know, you can take any person, any business, and go from zero to significant money with one of my favorite strategies, and I'm preaching to the choir here because you guys are the experts on this, but that's with alliances. I like using the word alliance instead of joint venture, affiliate, and all these things. I think a lot of the words are thrown around depending on the industry, but the bottom line is somebody has already gathered up all your customers, and if you just focused on serving those people and creating a relationship from the top down, you know, you can start a business overnight. My consulting blueprint, I have people go from zero to $100,000 in cash in less than 6 weeks, and that's with a standing start with no risk and just moving into an industry. Hopefully it's the one that they already have some affinity with. But, you know, people just really, they put up obstacles in their mind because they do lack the business acumen to see through it. And we're all preached by people hawking other courses that it is difficult, you have to do it a certain way, you need this, you need that. And it's really, all those things are just meant to, you know, control and confuse someone. And in reality, business is a much more creative process.
I would love to know, Scott, in your experience, are there certain professions or professionals that have the bigger struggle with making that shift? You know, it comes to mind that over the years I've worked with highly educated, hyper-degreed people. And in some ways the message that our scholastic system teaches is you really, 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 really must keep studying until you know everything there is before you take action. Only that doesn't help in business, does it?
No, you're so right. Well, it's a long list. I think every day I wake up, I have to remind myself that this is supposed to be easy. You know, I think that we all have to realign and refocus, you know, every day. And I think your daily routines and triggers in your life are important. So every person has some element of human nature of not believing. So, excuse me, I gotta make sure I get this right, but in selling, well, to boil down everything I say into two things, business is psychology and math. That's all there is. You can take everything in an entrepreneur or business owner's life and you can throw it into one of those two things. Math is the price you charge. Psychology is how you convince people to pay it. And without those two things, you don't have a business. And so every person has some built-in psychology that keeps them from believing things are possible. And so, you know, that's the beauty of being a child, right, is that their imagination rules, and life should be so much more fun. So when you're dealing with a prospect, I always say that you have to first establish trust, which then builds belief and then gives them confidence. And to me, instead of some fancy, whatever you call it, psychobabble terminology, that's all you need to get somebody to give you money. They have to trust you. They have to believe that what you say is going to be true, and that they have to have confidence in you and therefore confidence in themselves. And so if those things happen. So when I look at people like you're talking about, corporate America, I have people come to me from corporations all the time, want to start a business. They're the hardest people to deal with because they've been ingrained in some specific structured philosophy. Engineers, I have one particular engineer who somehow has managed to be incredibly successful. He's ran a few startup companies in Silicon Valley. He's very entrepreneurial. He's a king in the real estate investing software technology space. But at the same time, I mean, he overthinks everything, drags things through the mud, and you know, it's very analytical. My brother used to always joke and say, Scott, you know, you and I, our problem is we're too smart because we spend too much time thinking, not enough time doing. You know, in my world, attorneys are always looking for a shortcut. Chiropractors are skeptical of everybody, and dentists will believe anything you say, but they'll think it to death. And, you know, I tell them all that in a room if I was sitting in front of all of them, because I deal with them every day. But it's about acknowledging that fact. There's no profit in skepticism. You know, you don't make bank deposits pondering things. And you you certainly can't be looking for the shortcut around anything in life. And my number one test of dealing with any customer or client is that if they don't behave the way that they expect their customers to behave, then that's a media fan. You know, you're out of here, because I don't want to deal with any person who's not congruent. And, you know, case in point, I won't use any profanity on the radio show here, but I will tell you, if people complain about other people's prices, if you don't want people to complain about your prices, why on earth would you complain about somebody else's? And I have fired clients on the spot, check in hand, because they're trying to negotiate fees. I said, do you want me to teach you to have your customers negotiate fees with you? No. The number one rule in life is live with integrity. If you don't have the money, this obviously you need my help. So, you know, I think these things are very, very important. They come back down to having a principle-driven business and the way you, to borrow from Rick Warren's famous book, you know, and take a little liberty. That's what has to happen.
That's beautifully put. Yeah, I'm thinking about it in the context of strategic alliances as well, which is when you find a really great strategic ally, in a sense, they're already screening for that value set. And the best strategic alliances are where my work and your work is complementary, and yet for a really decent reason, somebody who comes to me to be served isn't a fit for me, is a fit for you. And that referral, that introduction is created rapidly and easily so that that person gets served by someone with a shared value system, with a shared commitment to really serve and help that person. It's wonderful energy, and it allows us to, I'll say leverage again, it allows us to leverage the introductory, the trust building that's already gone on through that strategic partner.
Yeah, that, well, I absolutely. I mean, you know, beautifully stated.
Yeah, yeah. So when you look at professionals nowadays, you know, we have a lot that's changing in the United States of America and what's going on with the healthcare system. And do you see it driving people into or out of their professions, or into or out of thinking more business-mindedly earlier in their careers, earlier in their professions?
Sure. Well, first of all, I think that the one thing, and I say this to keep my own self in check, but at the end of the day, there's one thing we can all be certain, and that is we are humans, and we will never behave any differently than a human does. And so if you look at any industry, I think it all still breaks down the same with having the elite at 1% who are overachievers. They figured it out. They're just masters of their craft, and they may even have some innate, you know, Michael Jordan-esque ability. And then you have the 4% that make up the remaining 5% that are always going to be at the top of the pyramid. And then you have the top 20% of the industry. So I think all that stuff still is true. However, I do see more people, you know, being ambitious. I think by the sheer nature of technology, I mean, people like you and Gina out there who are really making it easier for people to find the right paths for themselves and to have, you know, sort of answers or blueprints at their fingertips. And nonetheless, more and more people are looking for ways to become independent, to have what I call, you know, to be a liberated entrepreneur. I mean, there's no greater thing in this country than to serve your freedom than by being a capitalist. And I think, you know, industries are growing, not shrinking. There is certainly a big mix-up with the whole healthcare debacle. There are people that find ways to beat it. There are people who give in to it and, you know, end up working themselves to death to find the same amount of income, or they look for leverage points like what we're all talking about on the call today. So I mean, generally speaking, there's no better time to become an entrepreneur, a business owner, to chase your dreams. And simply, we all have a very limited number of peak earning years, and you really, it's a responsibility to yourself to maximize your revenue. It's so important. So, you know, I don't have anything negative to say. I really do. I know it's a cliche, but I believe people make their own economies. I mean, I got to tell you where I'm at right now. Hopefully you can't hear it too much, but I'm sitting in the middle of a multi-million dollar beach homes, and there's construction everywhere, probably places it shouldn't be, and, you know, prices dipped for like a split second at any point in time during real estate. And you know what? The crazy thing is there's no army on the street with guns in hand stopping other builders from coming into this neighborhood, but yet the rest of the country suffers. And in every city around the country, my friend Dan Kennedy used to always say, there's big, giant green signs that tell you how to get the heck out of town. And, you know, people can go make their own economy anywhere they want to be. It's really just a matter of decision.
Yeah, it's so true. You know, we had as a guest on the show last year Pamela Wibley, and she's actually a doctor up in, I want to say, in Portland, Oregon, if I remember correctly. And she just looked up one day and said, this healthcare system and the way it works is absolutely insane. It's insane for the doctor and the lifestyle of the doctor, and it's insane for the community. And she completely broke the mold. What she did was she ran town halls for the community where she invited hundreds of people to come in and say what they wish they could get from their doctor, and from their relationship with their doctor, et cetera. 100 ideas on the wall on flip charts. By the end of those town halls, she realized she could deliver on 96 of the 100 with no effort whatsoever. She broke the mold of the system. She sees her patients wearing her normal street clothes, sitting on a living room couch in a house-type setting. Exactly. She wants to see for as long as she wants to see every single patient, and she's built an incredibly successful and lucrative business with a waiting list such that now when other doctors in the community say, I want that model too, she says, good, here's 300 people who've been waiting for a doctor who wants to serve them and be in relationship with them that way, and she's now running programs teaching other physicians from across the country how to do the same thing. It's like...
That's incredible. Wow.
Yeah. And I truly believe that that kind of fresh thinking is available no matter what the profession, no matter what the industry is, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, I do. And I'm and more power to her. And that's exactly what people should do.
Yeah. So what are the things that are exciting that you see on the horizon now?
Oh, heavens. Well, you know, I think every day is a new adventure. And when I go to restaurants or shopping, people always say, well, is today a special occasion? I say, you're darn right it is. Every day is a special occasion. I'm just happy to be here. And, you know, I think that, you know, you have to make life your playground, so to speak. So what do I think on the horizon? Well, I mean, it's no secret to anybody that the whole coaching and consulting industry is continuing to thrive. You know, people like Brendon Burchard and guys that have gone mainstream with the concept of sharing with others. I mean, there's so many, but you have people that have really pioneered this thing forward to know that, you know, people really can make money with their passions. And I mean, the new internet marketing is obviously finding ways to monetize social media. And is becoming expert to your peers. I mean, there's just so many things going on in the world today that people have endless opportunities. And oftentimes, though, that, of course, is the problem because they never know which opportunities to choose. You know, I focus more on a more simplistic business approach. Again, I think a lifestyle-based business is the key. It doesn't have you don't need. 100 different income streams if you have a few that are just really lucrative. And, you know, I tease people that hour for hour, dollar for dollar, I earn more money than Peyton Manning because he works a whole heck of a lot more. And, you know, the reality is, it really, you mentioned that a person designs their life, and there's no wrong answer. I think the future of business is that, you know, old is new again, and there's really it's really about people staying true to themselves, finding a group of people they want to serve. And I always go back to it is about relationships. And no fancy websites and, social media or any other kind of technology is ever going to remove the personal relationship out of business. And I think people that are willing to be the personality, that are willing to really over-deliver and to provide experiential service are the people that are going to thrive. And the companies that withstand the test of time have all of those things, behind them. So I think that's probably a bit of a hodgepodge answer, but to me, the future is so exciting, and people should just have fun. Your business should be fun. And if you don't wake up every day excited about your business and you're not having fun dealing with your customers, my goodness, don't you think they know that? And why on earth would they want to give you money? So I think it really does begin with you. I mean, it really, really does. And people think that they put their customers first and they're doing somebody a favor. You know, it really, if you're not taking care of yourself to the point at which your business is successful, your income is, you're financially independent, and you don't have, you're not dealing with the stress every day, you can't possibly be a good, responsible business owner.
Great way to say it. Really great way to say it. So, Linda, why don't you remind everyone of where they can find Scott before we run out of time to do so?
Absolutely. We actually are keeping it very simple for everybody. Scott, we're going to send everybody directly to your site. You've mentioned that actually if people go to milliondollarmethods.com that you've got a newsletter. What?
Yeah.
Share in your newsletter.
Yeah, well, thanks for asking. You know, well, first of all, you can find a lot of stuff there. There's nothing extraordinarily phenomenal or fancy, okay? I really believe you use what you got, and probably the thing I've become most known for is I publish a weekly newsletter. It's an email. We have a paper newsletter, which I believe strongly in, but I do a weekly email newsletter that is it's really like climbing inside of my head. And the secret is, and I don't tell this to everybody, but I'm really writing to me. So I could have a personal experience that week or a dealing with a client or some message that I need to be reminded about, and I put that right there in a newsletter, completely transparent. And, I mean, there's not many people that have stood the test of time and have I don't even know what it is, 5, 6, 7, 8 years of newsletter, of weekly emails without any interruption. And, you can read all about that. And I always say, you go read the over-embarrassed, intimidating bio all you want. I mean, the crazy part about bios is we all write them ourselves. If you go and read my blog, you'll really get to know who I am and what I stand for and just the principles behind what I do. So, of course, I know for the listeners of your radio show that my team and I have granted them a strategy call. They're welcome to at any point in time. There's there's information on the site, but they're welcome to anything there. And I believe in serving first and giving. So.
Your voice went blank for one sentence there. I don't know if that was on my end or for everyone on the show.
No, I think it was for everybody.
Okay.
We heard giving first and then you blanked.
Oh, I see. Giving, I just said I believe in giving first and really, sharing the answers, as I like to say. And then if the relationship's a good fit, we'll all know that and the rest will take care of itself. So I invite people to explore and at the very least get the email newsletter to help inspire and refocus and motivate them to take action every day.
Wonderful.
And as you know, Scott, so many of my students and clients are people who are what we describe as offline service-oriented professionals. who really want a different lifestyle and want to use their expertise in a new way instead of just being in a service-oriented business. Where should they start in applying all that you've shared today?
Well, Gina, that's a great question, and obviously each person is in a unique situation. And I will tell you that something I think is important is that people don't apply just a cookie-cutter approach to their life situation. And I think it's really important that you don't try to be somebody else. You have to be yourself. So if I were going to self-servingly, I would say that I'm more than willing to provide them with a strategy call to help sort out their priorities and really what's going to give them the best benefit. In terms of the big money breakthroughs and leveraging themselves, probably the simplest place to start is to really sit down and make a list of all of the activities that you perform on a daily, weekly basis and put down the income sources that you have. And then really hone in and identify which are the biggest, the best, and the ones you most enjoy. And then take a really close, hard, candid look at your schedule, and you see if those two things line up. Because I can assure you that most people are neglecting the highest value use of their time and their biggest income source. They're most oftentimes not applying themselves to that wholly.
That's really good advice. You know, you and I are so much alike in so many ways. I agree. There is no one-size-fits-all solution that's going to work for everybody across the board. And I think one of the things that makes both of us unique is for the past several years, what we've really been doing is looking for that system that can be applied in a unique way by every person that we work with. And it's not as easy as you would think to come up with that system that gives everyone a unique application of the same system, right?
Right. Yeah. It's just a silly thought, right? Yeah, you have to. Everyone can have a blueprint or principles, and they can learn stuff from like the three of us. But then it becomes about finding what works best for you. I have this book called I can't remember the name, but it's something like Daily Rituals of the World's Best Writers. And it's this book that takes you through the daily routines. At the end of the day, I'm a writer. That's what I am. Sure, I do consulting, do a lot of other things, but the communication is what I sell. And so I study this book, and every one of these famous authors, millionaire authors, people that have been from the 1800s, they all achieve success doing the same thing, but doing it a completely different way. And it's not about changing who you are. It's about empowering yourself to be that person and then work your business around you. I always say my goal is to build a business around you, not create a business and then shove you in like a pigeonhole, And so I agree with everything you said, and I know that's what all three of us represent here today. And if you look at all three of us, I might just add, you can learn a lot just from observing. And my joke is, what any amount of money you give me, it's worth just to go along for the ride and see what I do, because you learn more by observation than by anything else, and then applying those principles to your life. And the three of us, all very good friends, have a very principle-centered businesses, and yet we all are different, even though we may have similar interests. But you couldn't find anybody who has a business that matches the three of us. We've developed something that's uniquely our own. And you know what the good news is about that? The greatest deterrent to competition, the hardest thing anybody could ever replicate, is if you have some personal authenticity in your business. So if you want to have a lifespan and you want to be really valuable to somebody, you want to charge premium prices, all you got to do is be different. Easiest way to do that, just be yourself.
Such an important
issue. So much wisdom in that. Go ahead, Linda.
No, I think we're all reacting to the exact same thing, because so often we'll have people come into, you know, the Breakthrough Academy program who are trying to figure out how to be just like the competition and really not understanding that the exact opposite is where the power lies and the growth lies.
Right.
It's the more unique you are, the more it allows. There's terminology that I know Dan Kennedy has used over the years, which is all about you need your marketing to actually polarize people so that they actually love you or hate you. And if they hate you, great. They've identified that it's not a fit and they go away, so that we experts who are serving our clients are having the ideal customer come to us, and it's the same thing we need to teach the people we work with, that you want to serve every day when you get out of bed in the morning. You want to serve your ideal customer, and you want everyone else to go away and find the perfect match for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think what Scott was really saying is even bigger than that. I mean, look, if we really look at it on its face, the three of us are really competition for one another, aren't we?
Yeah, isn't that crazy? You know, the thing is, the competition is so overrated. You know, first of all,
totally
we're all not because, number one, everything we do is like that puzzle Linda talked about, and we just add another piece to the puzzle. And number two, you know, the best, you know what happens, and although I don't really like I don't like this team, okay, but why is the Miami Heat dominant? It's because they got Gina, Arinda, and Scott on the team. Why do they beat
there
the other people? Because they only got one of us. And so, you know, you think about aligning superstars, it's just about how much happiness and success you want to have for your life. If you look at the two richest people in America, why are they best friends? Well, there's a darn good reason, because if Warren Buffett and Bill Gates are best friends, well, there ain't nobody going to take their wealth away. And so it's really about aligning your forces. And people who look at competition are very restrictive to their wealth mindset and their prosperity approach to living.
And that's exactly where I was going with that comment, Scott. I don't believe that there is such a thing as competition. We can get so much more, so much faster, with so much less effort by aligning with the people we think are our competitors.
Yes.
And as long as each of us is doing what you really suggested, Scott, really being authentic and applying things in a unique way, we really can all work together very well and really make a bigger difference and put more money in our pockets in the end. Which is why I'm so excited about having you joining us next month for the Entrepreneurial Authoring Workshop to talk about leverage when it comes to being an author. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Thank you. Well, I really am so grateful for both of you and inspired by the work you do, and really appreciate this opportunity to share with other people.
Well, I wish your wedding wasn't 8 hours away from where I'm at, or I would be there this weekend.
You're very kind. Well, you're welcome to stop by.
Good luck to you, and best wishes to your bride.
Well, thank you, Gina.
So I just want to remind all of our listeners that if you go to milliondollarmethods.com, you'll be able to find more information about Scott. You'll be able to follow his blog. I love your writings on your blog. I think you've got the humor and insight in everything that you post that, for me, is just it's like a morning refresher, you know, a way of reframing before I jump into my day.
Well, thank you.
I totally agree. Well, thank you so much, Scott. We will be talking again very soon. And Linda and I will be back same time, same place next week for another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great week, everybody. Thank you, Linda.
Bye, all.
Thanks, everyone.
Join us Tuesday at noon Eastern for the next episode of Breakthrough Directions, from relationship marketing to business success.